Hey everybody, and welcome to Friday, March 28th JumpCast, the only manga podcast that is purchased by LinkedIn for 2 billion Dogecoins. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and Greg Jan.
Really hope that the IRS comes out and says that Dogecoin is a currency, going to be taxed like a currency, just to watch all the Bitcoin people explode.
No more Bitcoin talk, no!
We're going to get this podcast taken over by Bitcoiners. We could also mention Homestuck, and then it'll get a lot
too
of
late.
Angry hate mail.
Let's just...
Let sleeping dogs lie.
It's too bad Sleeping Dogs came out before the Doge meme.
Yeah, but Watch Dogs is still prime for it.
Yeah, but Watch Dogs is going to be a worse game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that game ends up.
Probably not great, but, you know, who knows? Who knows?
It could be amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it was suddenly delayed and has all these problems and nobody's seen it or played it.
Amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing like this week of manga?
Yes, this was actually a really good week.
So,
wait, do we have any house cleaning first?
Little bit of it. Iron Knight ended this week.
Yeah.
We never read it, never looked at it, so whatever. It lasted a couple rounds, but yeah.
Illegal Rare had its first ranking, and it's in the bottom five.
Yeah,
so.
It's fifth from last, and honestly, the first chapter of that one was the best one in that series, so it's basically done.
Yeah, it's a new pillar of Jump in that it's holding Bleach up from the bottom. They need more of those things.
I read the second chapter, and like, I'm just not feeling the main guy.
Yeah.
He's like bad Dante.
Well, he's kind of lame is the problem.
Yeah.
Like, he's not cool. Like, his whole shtick about being like kind of classy is funny, but like his attacks aren't very cool and the design's not great. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like it's missing something. I don't know. On the other end of the spectrum, I should note Stealth Symphony has been improving with each chapter that I've read. So.
So you think that one can survive?
So
I think it's
going to
make it the first round easily, yeah. But
Also, I guess we should say, since we're not talking about it this week, because that hasn't been a new chapter, Nisekoi is third from the bottom, which is strange.
Which chapter was that?
It was some Haru chapter. I don't remember which one.
Good.
Is that the one where they go to, like, the aquarium or something, maybe?
That seems too recent.
Well,
no, that was decent at least 8 weeks ago.
Well, because remember, I don't think we're a chapter behind. Might be one. Anyway.
It was chapter 109.
Which one's that?
Be. Yeah.
These
As
numbers mean nothing to me.
Search.
I
assumed you had it in front of you when you were saying the chapter number.
Oh no, it was a discussion that I was able to pull that out from.
It's the one with the rankings. I guess people didn't like Marika.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Isan wasn't enough to keep it afloat.
Awesome! This is the chapter where the heart firework explosion in the festival and all that shit. Good job, Japan.
Yeah.
You nailed that one on that ranking.
How scary must it be if like Nisekoi suddenly started tanking really, really badly just as the anime started going?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, normally isn't it that when the anime is going, the rankings are higher, or is that not
usually the
case?
I think you hit some sort of like, you break through to some sort of zenith, like, One Piece can never go low again. It's not happening.
I have to imagine there also needs to be some kind of cross, you know, people read the manga and watch the anime because you have to read the manga to vote on it.
Yeah.
True.
So, like, they might just be having, like, just anime fans that don't care about the
or
manga.
Or maybe the fans of just anime are buying the volumes but not actually getting the magazine or something.
Well, Nisekoi is not a manga you need to read the manga to get up on the story. Like, you don't need to know, oh my god, what's going to happen to Chitoge and Tsugumi next? So I'm just going to read ahead to the manga like you would with, say, One Piece or Naruto.
Yeah.
That must be such a hard temptation in Japan. Like, I have a hard enough time over here where not everything gets scanlated.
I mean, I remember that being one of the complaints about when DBZ was first airing, was that the episode previews would ruin what was going to happen in the next episode. And most people just like, well, everyone read the manga, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, it wasn't the previews, it was the titles. It was always like,
yeah, the titles
Goku
of
and Frieza are facing off. Who's gonna win? Next time, Goku and Frieza.
Yeah.
And then I guess one other thing is, next week there is a one-shot from the guy who did Hitman Reborn.
Ooh, that'll probably be good.
I've tried so hard to get into that manga, and it just never happens.
It was so Shotokan-y towards the end.
Was it?
Yeah, a lot of shirtless guys, and like very shoujo-y. But I think something new from that guy could be great, because
yeah,
there are parts of Hitman Reborn that were amazing.
And it seems like the sort of thing that improved a great deal as it went on.
I don't know. It became Pokemon at some point. They all got, like, fucking animals, like, that were their spirit guides and lived in things. I don't know.
I tried to read the first couple chapters, and it wasn't happening, but then people seemed to be really into it at the end, so I just assumed that it got better.
It's one of those manga that just, like, unabashedly and, you know, shamelessly just becomes a fighting manga at some point, where it's, like, starts off as this, oh, we're telling the story, and by then it's like, no, you need all these rings so you can be more powerful, so you can punch this guy better to achieve your dreams.
I'm trying to think of stuff that has made the transition to battle manga.
We always joked that it would have been really funny if Bakuman had done that.
Well, I mean, isn't the classic example of it, that I've read it, but Nagima?
Maybe. I've never read it.
Yeah, that becomes a battle manga at some point.
Yeah, like, and that starts as, you know, teacher harem love Hina sort of.
And then becomes thing. Like bad Dark Slayers battle manga weird thing.
Yu Yu Hakusho definitely was like Ghost Detective for a while.
No, that thing was like touching heartfelt stories, and then now you've got a laser gun. Pew pew pew. Go shoot stuff.
Now tournaments forever.
Yeah.
Tournaments solve everything.
It must have. Like, I have to imagine if we were following it at the time, it would have probably jumped in the rankings around the time of the tournament. And Togashi probably just shrugged and went, all right, sure, I don't care.
He seems like a guy that kind of goes with the flow.
I don't give a shit, I got that Sailor Moon money back home.
This is for fun, I can do whatever.
I don't even have to do this.
Yeah.
Watch, I'll just release a chapter once every 6 months and I'll draw it in pencil and I won't get canceled. What?
It is kind of like, how popular must Hunter x Hunter be?
For him to be able to get away with that.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, it doesn't seem like especially popular. It's not like in media. Like, it's never... The Jump.
So, I mean, so basically the question is, who does he have pictures of naked?
Everyone. Sailor Moon Girl.
When they do reveal stuff that Hunter x Hunter characters are in, they're usually like the first people revealed.
Were they in the Jump?
He was like the first non like pillar character.
Must just be just incredibly. I've tried to get into it. It's okay. I had a friend that was super into it.
Maybe the tanks are a lot better.
Hmm.
Who knows? All right, and I guess one other thing is that the Shokugeki no Soma digital copy is available now in America.
What? Oh, you mean chapter Food Wars.
Yes, Food Wars. Food Wars, : Shokugeki no Soma.
Yeah, that.
They should have called it like Steel Chef or something. I think that would be a better name.
Food Wars, I don't know, it just sounds so generic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Food Wars, I mean, it fits and to a certain degree, but yeah.
I don't know.
Food Wars is like the, I just give up on this title.
Food Wars is a fake TV show that would be within another TV show. Like, that a character would be watching on TV, they'd be watching Food Wars.
And like, the eye catch would be just someone saying, Food Wars!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then people, you know, start throwing food at one another.
That's what they should have called it, Food Fight! Oh man, that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm it's making me wonder if they're planning on putting that into the English Weekly Shonen Jump now.
Didn't they say they're not going to because it's too racy?
That was our guess. Well,
I note that the preview that they put into Weekly Shonen Jump skipped over some of the really racy stuff right in the beginning.
Like the tentacle rape?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, the preview is the section where he's first arriving at the school and, you know, it's the hoity-toity people being all down on him, and it ends right as he's about to start cooking for Arena.
Yeah.
So I think that that's chapter what? 2 or 3? Like, it's definitely not the first chapter.
I mean, if you cut out the racy stuff in the first 10 or so chapters, you wouldn't be missing that much. Like, you could reasonably, like, people would cry censorship, but you could reasonably pull it off.
You could probably put together a compilation of, like, the first 10, like, make your own kind of, like, here's what led up to this point. Okay, now we're going to start doing the manga.
Yeah, or just have all of the volumes available in their digital distribution thing and then just jump into where it's at right now.
Yeah, this is chapter 2 of Soma. Okay. I'm looking at it now. Of course, you know, the chapter does start with Irina naked.
Yeah.
Naked, like, well, in a pool, 5 different times in the chapter.
All right, then.
Anywho.
To Bleach?
So, onto this week's actual stuff.
Yeah, Bleach.
So, this chapter is really fucking wordy for nothing happening.
Yeah, this chapter was disappointing because he managed to make a Kenpachi fight boring.
I didn't think it was as bad as you guys seem to think it was.
I mean, it's basically terrible. It's just kind of like, I felt like so much more should have been happening.
It's Imagination Guy going, the floor is lava, and Kenpachi going, nuh-uh. And then Imagination Guy going, yaha. And then it just keeps going like that for the entire chapter.
I do like this idea that it's a villain who can do literally everything he imagines, and what he imagines is things that you mostly cannot see, like the insides of people turning to cookies, or people being dead, or the floor is lava.
Assistants work hard. You want to...
I feel like this is like a show that has like a really low special effects budget, like Heroes or something like that. It's like, I can do literally anything.
Or like the time that there was like a giant fight and then they just close the door on it.
And there's just like red and blue flashing lights underneath, and then they do the thing where the characters open the door, but you see them from inside the door looking at it and they're like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. Or when Naruto's first big arc was in the fog country.
Yes.
And they would just fog everywhere.
One of my friends has been going back and watching all of Heroes, including the seasons after everybody ceased realizing that Heroes is then happening. They do that again. Like, literally that same thing where it's the giant fight is happening off screen. They do it again.
We're gonna settle this once and for all. Everybody look away.
Everyone close your eyes. That's the only way we can go all out.
I just picture with a lot of this guy's power.
And then pour shampoo for it, you know.
They'd be like, I'm imagining something flying at you, and you see, like, a fishing wire, like, very lazily wobbling a thing towards Kenpachi. Just, like, low special effects power. Anyway.
Do you want to summarize this then? Because it's just back and forth.
I could do the same summary as last week, but Kenpachi has still shown up, and I don't know, like, there it starts with some Squad 11 dudes noticing that Kenpachi's back, and they all start getting excited, and then...
He imagined he healed himself, so therefore he is healed again.
He imagines the floor is lava, and Kenpachi just slashes at it because he doesn't care. And then he finds out about Yachiru's bones being cookies. He gets trapped in a big cube of water, because I imagined what it would be like if you were in water.
Why can't anybody keep watching just blowing up?
That does seem to be a thing that should happen.
The thing is, like, the way he...
Your hair catching on fire, and then he goes Super Saiyan.
The way Imagination Dude talks, it makes it seem like he's entranced by how novel this is.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. What
I've been dealing with this my entire life, but I still find it fascinating.
Yeah. So,
after being trapped in the water, Kenpachi slashes at him once, and then the dude blocks the attack, and then we find out that that was enough to break his concentration so that Yachiru's bones turn back to normal, which I guess is a thing. So if he stops imagining something, it stops being.
Yeah, I guess he has to focus. Actively be doing that or something like that.
Yeah, which really makes his power a lot less impressive, you know.
Why can't he imagine that he can focus on everything?
Maybe that's what his relief...
So I'm guessing that if something is completely destroyed, then his not imagining it anymore doesn't matter, because otherwise, you know, I imagine Kenpachi is dead, and then once he stops thinking about it, he comes back to life?
Maybe. I don't know. And then, yeah, the chapter ends. That's it.
Yeah.
So
it seems like a really bad power to work on someone that, like, never gives up.
Maybe. I was really excited when I thought that his power was making the other person imagine things and that materialize, and then the joke being that Kenpachi has no imagination.
Yeah, that would have been good, but instead it's just him, like, monologuing about his own imagination power.
And then Kenpachi going, I don't give a fuck, / haha, that worked.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, they managed to make a Kenpachi fight boring. That's
So...
A new low for Bleach.
I'm gonna guess this is as good as a killing blow, and next week the dude will, like, release his whatever they call Bankai's.
Yeah, his version of it.
Full stand, whatever it was called.
Where did what's her name go?
What's
Inohana's vice captain?
Oh, Isane? I don't know. Yeah.
She probably didn't get risen up on the platform or whatever.
But Yashiru did?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, because she's story important. So, she's there.
I'm just saying, like, she could have easily picked up Yachiru and left.
Or healed her or something.
Yeah.
Stupid medical ninjas. Never healing anyone.
Medical Shinigami. Different.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I got my
mom. Imagine healing the dead must be kind of hard.
Well, what's her name had to call her big manta ray to heal people.
And now she's dead. So what good did that manta ray really do?
Didn't do everything? Nothing for nobody.
Yeah, Kenpachi, but like, I've been waiting so long for Kenpachi to come back, and this feels like such a waste.
This will be over fast enough, and then he'll get a cool fight. Right?
No, he'll probably just get one-shotted.
And then Ichigo shows up.
Yep.
Honestly, I feel like one big thing to this fight, these fights now, is that I feel like they don't really have any drama or impact to them once you find out that no matter who wins or loses, Jupiter still gets more powerful.
In the end, this fight really doesn't matter at all.
Like, I guess if you care about Kenpachi a lot, then you want him to win, but who gives a shit? Really?
Like, in the grand scheme of beating Juha Bak, like, this means nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing can be said for pretty much all the fights so far.
Well, they reveal that twist too early, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you think they did it too early? Would it have been better, like, as he's monologuing to Ichigo?
Yeah, it should have been Ichigo confronts him while everyone's still fighting. And then Juha Bak says, no matter who wins or loses, I still get their souls.
Like, get everything to the point of climax, and then do a montage of all the...
the fights ending.
Yeah, and then have him just, like, get super powerful all of a sudden.
Yeah, and Ichigo has to free the people who, like, he likes. That would have been better, instead of just like, okay, so we're, like, two fights down, Juha Bak's gonna get powerful no matter what. Unless people just stopped fighting, but that's not going to happen.
I mean, I guess it's created maybe a sense of dread over all the fights, even if they win, but...
I don't think that's intentional.
Yeah, it... I don't know, it just...
Do you think it was like...
It still doesn't feel like it has much impact.
Do you think, like, Kubo is just sitting there with the pen in his hand and goes, ooh, that's a good idea, and he just writes it into the chapter?
I think he had that idea, and he was impatient to use it.
Yeah, that does seem like a Bleach thing. I don't know, I really would like this fight to get better.
Yeah.
That would be super awesome.
But also I'm not sure how it will at this point, you know what I mean?
The kid's proportions on the title page really freak me out. Because his neck is, like, super long. If you go back and look at, like, the Bleach 574 page.
Yeah. With it behind the title.
Yeah. His neck just goes on forever, because his shoulders are at the bottom, and the top of his head is at the top.
Maybe he's like Kaku.
Yeah.
Giraffe Logia.
Just wondering if it's like some weird thing going on there.
I feel like they should have paired Kenpachi against Mask the Mask.
Anyone versus Mask the Mask would have been great.
That fight would have just been too amazing. You know.
It would just never end. Like, he wouldn't think to kill James. Just even after Juha Bak said, it just cuts back to those guys just killing each other forever.
Well, he'd just keep cutting Mask the Mask or James into, like, smaller and smaller pieces until eventually there's nothing left.
The spores of James cheering on Mask the Mask.
Wasn't that a Yu Yu Hakusho thing? Like, he punched someone into paste or something? Or into, like, a red mist? Or do I think of Itchy and Scratchy? I can't tell the difference anymore.
Well, yeah, there's the Itchy and Scratchy thing where he inhales Itchy and then it, like, Itchy mines away at his insides.
Yeah.
There's also the thing with Cell from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, like, yeah, Cell.
Like, if one atom of him remains, he can reproduce somehow.
But somehow they Kamehameha him into zero atoms. Because
well, I think it was
sense.
Just not atoms, it was one cell, but yeah. One living cell, everything else was vaporized.
But yeah, I'm not feeling this fight at all. And
maybe once he releases it, it'll get super interesting and we'll get like all kinds of crazy. I mean, a fight against Kenpachi versus a dude that can do literally anything should just be like balls out craziness, not just.
Yeah.
The problem is they're just standing opposite from each other, monologuing, throwing one attack, and then monologuing some more.
Yeah, like, you're in water now.
This should make the final fight of Gurren Lagann look basic and simple. Instead, it's just like, lava?
Yeah, he should be like, all of a sudden the floor is lava, he jumps in the air, it turns into water, and like all this stuff's just popping off one right after the other, instead of...
Without him saying it. He shouldn't have to explain that he's imagining all of these things.
He's so fucking smug and enamored with his own powers. That's... It's just stupid. Alright. Move on to Shokugeki?
Yes, on to Food Wars.
Food Fight.
What? Yes. Oh, you mean Food Wars Shokugeki no Soma. Okay. Yes.
So Soma is thinking about too when he was first shown his opponent, Nakiri Alice,
yes,
who is still like ambiguously evil.
Yeah, she's quickly
this chapter she is incredibly ambiguously evil, but she is also like so much better than her cousin.
But she hasn't like done anything evil or thought anything evil.
I love ambiguously evil women. So she's becoming my new favorite character.
Like, the only reason I feel like she's evil is they keep drawing her as evil.
She's got one of those faces. Like, I think it's the eyes, like the two-tone weird.
Well, you know,
eyes.
And they specifically draw her as looking that way. Like, yeah, all these slime looks and whatnot.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like she has fangs.
It will be interesting to see how she handles being beaten, because I don't think she ever has been.
Yeah, Soma's not going to lose this.
She's, when they meet in this flashback, she's pretty smug about whether she's going to win or not.
I mean, yeah, but Soma's equally smug.
Yeah.
So, but Soma's not drawn evil. He's just drawn...
Yes, but Soma's the protagonist, so he's allowed to be.
Soma's drawn a little evil. He's got those, like, dead eyes.
Like, the only person who's not, like, a huge asshole in this manga is Megumi.
Just you wait until...
She's the only one who's not, like, confident in her cooking ability to a ridiculous degree.
Like, everyone else, you get the feeling they would stab each other given the chance.
And all of those knives, all
around.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say, they do have the chance frequently.
You think Shogeki no Soma is going to become a battle manga?
It kind of already is.
It just becomes like Toriko.
It is doing the Yu Yu Hakusho thing of immediately tournaments all the time, every weekend.
Well, it is like tournament school.
Yeah. Tournament school sounds like the English name for Yu Yu Hakusho. So they're all looking from the audience, or the dorm is looking from the audience at Alice's gastronomy? Was that
they
what
refer
called?
To it? Yeah, like she has a laboratory, basically.
Yeah, like it looks like there's a centrifuge of some sort and stuff like that.
I like how she specifically mentions her Japanese DNA.
Well,
like,
it was after she cooked rice. She
it
resonates with her Japanese side.
It's just this thing in the manga where I feel like everyone has to point out that they're Japanese at some point, so readers don't get the wrong idea.
I'm waiting for like the American Mark Smith to come and have it be that he's half Japanese.
I mean, they basically did that with the Italians that were like, by the way, they're half Japanese.
I guess Chitoge is that way too in Nisekoi.
Yeah, yeah.
She's American,
she's half.
But not so much American that you guys won't like her.
Yes. I mean, it's hard to think of a fully non-Japanese character that's like prominent in manga.
Well, I mean, and I'm assuming we're ignoring things like One Piece where people don't really have nationalities.
Yeah,
I mean,
something with like
when
takes
Oga
place in the real
was
world.
Asked what nationality everybody was, Luffy was Brazilian. So
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So yeah, in it looks like it was volume 56, Oda had said what all of the nationalities of the Straw Hats were. So Luffy was Brazilian, Zoro is Japanese, Nami is Swedish. Usopp is African. He didn't get any more specific than that. Sanji is French. Chopper is Canadian. Robin is Russian. Frankie is American. And
yeah.
Brooke is Austrian.
I'm pretty sure he picked these out of a hat or just randomly. Like, yeah, Frankie seems kind of American to me.
He's got a. He looks like Ace Ventura, so therefore American. Yeah. I love that Chopper's Canadian.
Yeah.
Find that really funny.
I do think that, like, if you have a character that's purely American or not Japanese, and so like they don't think that it's as marketable.
Maybe. But,
you're right. I guess all I'm trying to say is, I mean, yes, they don't have those nations in that world, so it doesn't necessarily mean that, but Luffy is explicitly not Japanese.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice to make for the lead, especially compared to... Anyway...
Here, like, you know, they had that clearly Indonesian guy. He's like, oh, by the way, I coincidentally happen to be Japanese.
Yeah, that they found, like, in a garbage pile in India.
Yeah.
They used a divining rod to find Japanese people in other countries.
And Arena says out loud, by the way, I'm half Japanese.
Her Japanese DNA.
She does some normal
cutting technique, and Soma basically, like, it almost looks like he's kind of, you know, teasing her to a certain degree.
She's gonna fall in love with Soma. I mean,
let's be honest. I love the way that Alice is drawn with, like, fairy eyes all the time. Her weird, like, anime fairy eyes. The, like, slanted, really thick circle.
Yeah. She's actually a pretty cool design character. I like her better than her cousin.
Something that I missed, though, like, are Irina and her not fully Japanese?
No, their grandfather is Japanese. Probably they're one of their parents.
I guess it would have to be grandmother if they're both not, unless both children of...
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense because they have blonde hair, but that usually doesn't matter in manga all that much.
They're Japanese enough, I guess.
That's their nationality, Japanese enough. Fire toys.
I think Soma's going to beat her, and then she's going to fall in love with Soma.
Well, yeah. Anyway, we get a flashback to Soma when he was trying to figure out what to do for his bento.
Yes.
Pretty extended sequence of it.
Yeah.
And basically, Ryoko... like, decides to talk with him and see what he's planning. And he feeds her an idea. And it's kind of surprising, because, like... Well, he feeds her food, an idea he had for food.
Like, attempt one, basically. Yeah. Not something he's going to do for his final thing, but just how does this work?
And it's kind of surprising that since Ryoko's, like, whole character up until this point has been the one with tits, that her foodgasm was surprisingly restrained.
Well, they already had an underwear shot of her earlier this chapter, so...
Yeah. Oh,
the page before, yeah.
Yeah.
With her ridiculously short dress.
The shortest skirt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she enjoys it, and he starts really thinking about the true meaning of bento.
Yeah, he makes a fried chicken and nori bento box for her.
Yeah. And for some reason, they have, like, a DVD of curry.
Sure.
Like that's all that's on it.
Yeah. Well,
just
I mean,
a picture of curry.
It's part of the thing is that throughout the entire series he's always built off of his previous losses and whatnot and incorporated them into his future dishes. So
I think they're doing the football thing of like watching the previous day's game.
Yeah. And so they notice he has candy that he got from the kids he taught.
Because that has to mean something.
Yeah.
We have to work that in.
So I'm guessing his bento is going to evolve candy of some sort or sweets.
Yeah, like it's not going to be I don't think he's going to be going for a dinner. I think he's going to be going for a dessert.
Like, the reason he lost against his dad was he did not understand the needs of the people for whom he was cooking.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing by the fact that, like, it's a lunch bento, it's going to be... like, oh, this is something they cleanse the palate and stuff like that.
Or for kids. Like,
yeah.
A good school lunch for children.
Well, she's going to make something, like, artisanal.
Yeah, that, like, nobody would ever actually use in a bento.
So Alice has finished up her dish and puts the, what's the word for that? The thing, the tin you put over it?
Just, like, the steam tray kind of thing?
Another thing, the dome
glass.
Over it.
Yeah, it's just a dome of glass.
And everyone can't see the food, but it's covered in mist.
Because we have to, have the suspense until the next chapter.
Or maybe his food guy isn't there.
Mist is such a weird word for it. I would think steam might work a little better. But
what if it's raining inside?
She opens
science.
It up and it's just actual
what if it's not
mist?
Actually water? What if it's, some sort of thing that we can power airships off of?
It... I use my centrifuge,
meals.
And I have a nice chicken steam that I'll have in a bento box. You just let it cleanse into your pores, and you're satisfied.
So the steam
astronomy.
Itself is the
yeah.
the actual. So
it's all the food
dome
just like vaporized.
Is the bento box.
Yeah.
So that Parks and Recreation joke of they have some vodka here that they serve as a flash of light.
Yes. Yeah, you'll just inhale this chicken.
So I'm guessing she makes something that the judges kind of like. They're like, yeah, this is amazing. This is really good. And then Soma's is better. Because that's the way all of this works.
I think it is going to be the thing of, like, hers is not, like, a true bento, while his will be a true bento. Like, she's just going to make an awesome
you
dish.
She's
going to
be,
yeah.
like, disqualified based on a technicality.
Not,
because
not
she didn't
disqualified. Just, like, lose because she didn't follow the spirit. I think she's going to make, like... a $200 French dinner in a box. That doesn't make it a bento.
See, my problem with this manga is that everything comes down to that same Ratatouille ending of
anyone
you can make that. Really amazing food, but the one that wins is the food that makes the person think of their home.
So you're saying Megumi's going to win the whole tournament?
I actually think she's going to lose because Soma's going to have to go forward, and they can't have both of them get to the end.
What if they're in the finals? Megumi versus Soma.
I think she is going to be the person who goes down to the mystery guy in the semifinals.
She'll be power established.
Add that entire...
She's Krillin. Or
I was going to say Yamcha.
Well, she has some talent. She won something before.
But she's Chad. No, wait. Chad never won a fight either.
I thought he won one.
Did he? I thought most of his fights were just like popping into a place, finding a strong person, and then the next time you see him, he's got all of his arms ripped off.
Or at least one arm.
Could be. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, I'm really enjoying this, like, just Alice's, I guess, fighting style would be a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why she's evil.
And it just really bothers me. Pace up of this really. She's evil because she's Irina's cousin, so she's part of their family. Therefore,
Irina's like clearly evil.
I hope that there's just like.
And runs in the family. Their grandfather, the judge, is also evil.
But he let Soma into the school.
I hope she just at some point just it comes out that she murdered somebody or something.
How does that affect your cooking? Not at all. All right, let's go.
Well, about that, you know that dish I made that you ate?
I just needed to learn what, you know, human flesh tasted like in order to be able to make my gastrointestinal...
Here's my Soylent bento.
Yeah, I was just going to say...
Don't worry about the name.
How is it? It varies from...
person to person. I get the joke.
All right. On to Naruto.
In this week's Naruto... Somebody talk no jutsu is Naruto.
But it's not the person you might think. I don't know.
So Naruto is, like, inside that watery place in his head, like we thought. But is, like, not dead, and it's not the Ninetales.
It seems to just, like, they dance around calling it Limbo. But it's pretty much Limbo.
Yeah. It's that station where, you know, Harry Potter talked with Dumbledore or whatever.
So he finds an old man named... Hugo Romo that's just chilling out there.
Yeah, he's dressed in a very strange way.
Yeah, and he has both of the sage staves that Obito and Madara have, and he's dressed like a sage. And
he has, like, little floating orbs around him, and...
So for some reason, horns?
Yeah, like, as if he had some kind of monster inside of him that... let's not worry about that. He's probably...
Also nobody gone. So basically, he starts talking to Naruto like Gandalf.
Yeah, like, I'm assuming that this is an incredibly old, archaic speaking patterns in Japanese or something like that.
Yeah, I think the joke is that he's using, like, really... Like, he's basically using the yi form of talking, and then he goes into, like, slang at some point. I just love that he, like, monologues at Naruto, and Naruto's thing is like, "What the? Hey, Rinnegan!" Like, didn't pay attention to anything he just said.
You have balls.
And then basically just continues yelling at him until...
Echoes on for a really long time.
Yeah.
It's a funny joke of that Naruto, like, he keeps dumbing down his speech, like, one step at a time, and Naruto just still can't get it.
And then he has, like, this super hip, modern sort of speak, and it doesn't fit him whatsoever. And that was kind of amusing, but yeah.
And so eventually he introduces himself as the Sage of Six Paths, and Naruto only knows this by the fact that Nagato and Jiraiya have mentioned it. Which I'm pretty sure he was there for, like, Obito and Madara's monologue about it.
And also that they're dressed the same, and...
So basically, this chapter is the Naruto version ninjas do things.
Yes. We find out about the history of the Sage of Six Paths, like, finding out that he had two sons.
We've known that, like, that's where the Uchiha and the Senju came from.
Yes. Although, do find out that he has a brother, too, who is then never mentioned again.
Yeah.
So, hey, what two characters do you think these two sons that represent Naruto and Sasuke's clans act like and look like?
So this is the paralleliest chapter of the entire series.
This is basically the, if you haven't been paying attention and were able to connect the dots at all, I'm just going to spell everything out for you and then make it a little bit more stupid.
Like, this is so explicitly parallels that I...
This is like the origin of the parallels, though. They can't go any more parallel than this until it's revealed.
Well, no, we still don't know about the Sage of Six Paths' brother.
And then we're gonna...
Who's even more like you, Naruto.
He's going to be the next boss after Madara.
He's the Sage of Seven Paths. The other path is evil.
Everyone has, like, one brother that they just never talk about anymore. Like Madara's brother.
I wonder if that's because of Kishimoto and his brother. If there's like some slight to him of like the one brother that's famous and the other brother that's irrelevant and nobody talks about him.
Yeah, my brother who had this 666 on his forehead.
Yeah, he tried to follow my footsteps and failed miserably. Now we laugh
but
at him
if he tries hard enough, he will be better than me because all of these other people will be supporting him.
My mom made me give him extra chakra every month. Really annoying.
I have to write him a chakra check every month so that he can afford to stay in his chakra apartment.
So he explains how we've heard this story before. His mother took chakra from the tree, and the tree got really pissed about this and decided to come take it when they were children.
Yeah,
and they fought it off.
She looks quite a bit like a demon.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They say that she can't, like, they can't, or people could not figure out if she was a demon or a goddess.
Yeah.
Which may actually just be, like, Japanese lore.
You think, like, this is one of those things that it's so old that, like, no, she was just, like, a regular person?
I think the confusion of whether or not a god is good or evil is probably a very Japanese lore thing.
Yeah.
So, to say Hagoromo and his brother fought off the Ten Tails.
That was created after she took the fruit from the tree.
Yeah.
It was the physical manifestation of the tree. And then Hagoromo had his own kids. Indra and Ashura.
And Indra has Sharingan.
Yes.
And Ashura has nothing because he's no good and no talent.
Well, he has spiky hair that comes over his headband.
Yes. And determined eyes.
Yes.
And so like...
And guess Hagoromo which one resembles Naruto?
The Sharingan one. No, wait.
And in trying to make himself better and that sort of thing, he gathered people around him, and because of the amount of effort that he had, he got cooperation. And
first, we're missing the diss on Naruto.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, ice burn out of nowhere.
That, like, Hagoromo explains, well, even if you, like, really talented parents have kids, those kids could be complete failures. It's just a picture of Naruto's parents.
And then he goes, the same was true for you, wasn't it, Naruto?
Come on, answer me. Just pokes him with the staff for a while.
I've been here in the afterlife watching you, you know, the entire time, so.
So Indra was a genius that he mastered Ninshu really easily, and he could do anything.
Okay, let me see if I can summarize this. Blah, 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 genius, blobby, blue, blah, blah, hard work, blah, 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 blah.
I like how we even reuse the same thematic picture he always uses in Naruto of Naruto standing in front of
a bunch of
nothing.
People.
Yeah, and then a bunch of people are slowly filling.
Well, no, the first one is Indra by himself with nobody behind him, and then the second one is Ashura with people actually behind him.
Yeah, I was counting the panel to the side, where you can't actually see people.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, so parallels.
And then, if that's not enough, it cuts back to Naruto looking at his reflection in the water, and it's Ashura.
Do you remember the last time they did that with the Naruto and Gaara are the same thing? Where it was literally like Naruto talking to a mirror that turned into Gaara?
Man, that was a really long time ago.
So Hagoromo decides that he'll take the Tower of the Ten Tails and split it up into 9 parts.
You know, I'm just wondering, like, transitive property, does that mean that Gaara is like Ashura also? Like, can we, like, do the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon to be like, well, Naruto's like Gaara.
I think,
like,
the implication is that
multiple people throughout the... Well, I guess we're not to the possession part yet, but whatever. You know, they're going through multiple people in the generation to find out which one will be best serve them at the time or something like that.
See, the way I took the implication is that, like, spiritually, not necessarily, like, physically, every Jinchuriki represents Ashura, while every Sharingan user represents Indra. So yeah, I guess that counts B and Naruto and Gaara and all that. Because all the Sharingan users are kind of assholes.
Yeah, I never took it to be like literal.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think it's a literal thing.
I mean, no.
I don't think
the
it's like
that
they.
A bit later on in the chapter. But...
There's another page that I missed. Again.
Yes. No. Yeah. The end of the chapter is. Yeah, we'll get there.
That part's
anyway,
literal, but I think,
I do
like,
think
thematically,
that the Jinchuriki slightly chibified was a fun panel.
Well, they're babies.
Yeah, it's the baby ones.
I think we've seen that actual panel before.
Although, I think when that happened, for some reason, I was thinking they were much smaller. I just love, like, giant puppy QB.
Yeah. They're kind of adorable. So, Hagoromo made Ashura the leader of Ninshu, which is the religion that basically ninjutsu was born out of.
Yeah, although Ninshu is like the ideals, and ninjutsu is those ideals being used for war specifically or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like monks learning martial arts.
Yeah.
Like, they're not supposed to ever use it. It's supposed to be, you know, for like, discipline.
Yeah, it's ninshu when it's discipline. It's ninjutsu when it's attacks.
Yeah. So Hagoromo made the stupid mistake of thinking, yeah, I'm sure Indra's going to be fine with this. It's cool.
Yeah, you know, the dark brooding ones always handle rejection really well.
Yeah, it's no problem at all.
Although, to give the sage, like, a pass on this, there was not the historical, you know, precedence of this happening when he did this. This was the first one. He couldn't look back and think of, like, man, all those Uchihas are dicks.
No one was around to tell him a really long story.
We know the very first Uchiha was a dick. Presumably because he loved too much. I don't know.
So Indra and Ashura...
From the last page, I'm guessing Naruto is going to get, like, a giant chakra form of himself with six arms at some point.
Well, yeah, probably.
The six arms seems to come from the, you know, Ashura. Like, that whole thing.
Oh, so, yeah.
I think it might just be specifically Ashura's, you know, Gundam.
So, Ashura and Indra battle.
Yeah.
And they have a long war, and they have an eventual fight where both of them die.
Yeah.
But they die in such a way, such a dramatic way, that their chakra gets, like, sent into the spirit
next
world, I guess.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're constantly reborn as people.
So Naruto is literally the reborn, the like, new life of Ashura.
I don't like this twist.
Neither do I. I think it takes a lot away from it.
You don't the Avatar?
Yeah, I think the whole thing for Naruto was supposed to be like, well, he's not exceptionally talented, but he makes it work. And now it turns out that he is actually he's the reincarnated leader of ninjutsu.
He's the chosen one.
Yeah. He's literally the Avatar.
But yeah, that guy in the first time was totally not talented and made it work. So therefore, it's all perfectly fine, right?
But he made it work, then became the leader of the religion.
I just don't like it because I think that the entire, you know, this thing is repeating over and over with literally the same two people, as opposed to, you know, following the paths of history is...
Like, he went into the parallels thing hard and fast this time.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna guess that Indra is not Sasuke, but is Madara. Does that set up the final battle better?
I think Indra is both of them.
Because Madara died at some point and then moved on to Sasuke, and I'm hoping for less of a literal reborn in you.
Like, I'm sitting here thinking, I know it, I don't want it to be Sasuke, but it's gonna be Sasuke.
But I mean, just the Ashura was reborn inside you. Like, I'm hoping for maybe not so literal, maybe just like his will, you know, like the will of fire sort of thing.
But there's like an actual Ashura
the page,
right next
they
to
say specifically.
No. I know.
Yeah.
Like Naruto's Link. And that's
I didn't see this page before. I just thought it ended with that weird picture of Indra, which I thought was supposed to be Madara, because it looks a lot like him.
It also looks a lot like Sasuke.
Are
you trying to say that, you know, the Uchiha clan kind of looks similar?
Look, I'm just saying the second has a lot of really interesting things to say about Uchihas. I don't agree with all of them, but he has some very good points.
He's just gonna hear the story and be like, I knew it!
Yeah, he's just like lying. It's like, I fucking told all of you! Look at the papers that I have in my apartment! He just, like, has all these, like, strings going between them, and they just all point to this paper that says Uchihas are dicks.
He has, like, a photo of Hashirama, turned it over, like, don't believe his lies.
God, I just really hope there's a panel of him just writhing, saying, I told you so.
This, I think they, in one chapter, they damaged Naruto's character irreparably. Like, now he's nothing. He is a slave to fate.
Yeah, he is an avatar.
The whole concept behind the character was that he was not a slave to fate.
I don't know. He's the son of the greatest ninja ever and got taught by the other.
I thought that thing was stupid at the time, too.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I thought that was kind of obvious from the beginning, honestly.
It was, but
we first saw him, but yeah.
But this is taking it to, like, illogical extremes, and I don't like it.
I'll see how it plays out before I make a judgment, but right now I feel a little uneasy with it.
Yeah. I didn't think the issue itself was bad, I just don't like that one twist.
Yeah, I thought that chapter was much better before you guys made me realize there was another page.
I was wondering why you weren't reacting when I was talking to you about it yesterday. I was like, yeah, so Naruto's Link. You're like, uh-huh, I don't know what that means.
I'm just like, yeah, I guess thematically.
Yeah. No, literally.
Also, I think time-traveling Hagoromo is dumb.
It's so funny that he's just like, I don't know, I went to the future. I can do that. It's fine.
I'm cool. I'm powerful.
I just wanted to see how this whole thing worked out. Kind of dumb so far.
Yeah. You're not doing so hot, are you?
Then Naruto's going to come back alive, and then...
The sage is just like, be right back. Blinks in and blinks out. It's like, oh, you got some shit ahead of you. Oh, man. Good luck, kid. Later.
Hey, what happens to that Neji kid?
Yeah, he's like,
kind of important. Don't let him die, no matter what.
Protect him above all costs. He what? Crap.
As long as Yondaime has his arms, I think you're good.
Okay, if Neji's dead, get Hayate. He is, like, number two.
I think we've actually done this joke before. we can at least have hope that the Indra revelation will not be as dumb as it possibly could be.
I'm hoping it's going to just kind of be mentioned this one time, then promptly never mentioned again. That's kind of
what I'm pinning
my hopes on.
I hope Ashura does not become a character that's like, hey, Naruto, sup, I'm inside you. Let's go kick some ass.
Just hanging out with QB.
The worst.
Nah.
It was... Okay.
Yeah.
Assassination Classroom.
Yes, Assassination Classroom.
There
is a color page.
A cold, presumably Russian village, which looks a lot like where Lovro was killed to me.
Oh yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, remember that thing?
That has not come up against us.
That might come up at some point again.
It was just making me wonder if this is like something that might happen in the future.
Yeah.
Them going doing stuff.
So the hide and seek game is still going on.
Yeah.
Although there's like a page before that, which I'm unclear if it's a character poll or not. I don't know what that is. It seems like it's a design a person contest.
And then they assign like a mad scientist?
Yeah, like I think that's the example. What was it? I think Kuroko's No Basket had a character poll last week. Like, we were talking about why Ass Class hadn't had one, and we were theorizing they don't do too many at once.
Yeah.
Other stuff is getting character polls. So.
Okay.
Okay.
They're probably preparing, like, I'm sure they do a character poll before they start preparing for the anime.
Yeah. They want to know who to put on the posters.
Yeah. So the Cops and Robbers game is still going on, and Kurosuma is just tearing shit up, and nobody can get freed because Kuro-sensei is watching the prison pen.
Yes, and he looks like, being a drill sergeant and because he's in control of them and making them do math problems. So
they go like full Milgram experiment and Kuro-sensei is going crazy with power.
Because it's not like he didn't have authority over them before, but now...
So they're yelling at him and Ritsu is reporting that almost everyone is getting captured.
I love the production values on her thing of like now there's like graphics popping up for people that are getting caught and
yeah. And Kurosuma is like going beast mode on everybody and tagging them all out.
Yeah.
And so somebody comes up with the wonderful idea of bribing the officer.
And this is, I think, the very best part of this chapter.
He hands him some porn.
Kuro-sensei is a dirty cop.
Yeah. Easily bribed.
And then I like how it has Koro Cops Scandal 1 bribery.
Yeah, we get like a new graphic for all of his scandals.
And Ritsu's escape thing is her being kind of beaten up.
Yeah,
she reports everyone. And Kurosuma is not happy about having to recapture people.
You know, he just mentions they're surprisingly skilled.
And then he immediately catches like 8 more.
Yeah.
And sends it back.
But then a bunch of people, like, they appeal to Kuro-sensei's better mentality.
Naivety.
Like, he's basically gullible as hell.
Yeah.
Well, I think he knows what's going on, but yeah.
I just love his, like, my brother's sick and I need to get back to him or else. And then it's like, go, I didn't see any robbers. And turn around.
His tears stream down from his sunglasses.
And then another costumed Kuro-sensei calls Kurosuma and asks why the culprits are all escaping from jail.
I assume this is like some Japanese detective costume or show or something like that. So robbers continue to escape as he falls asleep, and it shows like corrupt Kurosuke reading porn, and that's a manga reference, right? Eyebrows.
That's the cop guy.
I've seen him, but I don't know the manga.
I recognize the character design, but yeah.
Basically, he's an awful cop.
So basically, Kurosuma gets really mad and comes back to, you know, kill Koro-sensei.
He's got an assault rifle and a pistol in either hand.
So Koro-sensei has been feeding them tips every time they come in about how to avoid Kurosuma.
He's teaching them.
Yeah.
Yes, so it's becoming a little bit harder for him as he goes, and, you know, they're actually making efforts to block their tracks.
Yeah. Or doing, like, fake tracks going the other direction.
Yeah, so he's not tracking them as well. And then they break up into a couple of four-man cells, and Kurosuma can get through most of them, but during this time he's thinking that, like, both him and Koro-sensei make a good teaching team.
Yeah, basically it's, you know, the carrot and the stick.
Yeah.
Although I do like the imagery of the sun and the ground.
I like how the carrot kind of, like, shows the cleft in his forehead. It's good imagery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he finds a four-man cell of apparently the most athletic people, which is like Fuwa and Megu and a couple other guys.
And they basically taunt him.
Yeah.
They keep him busy long enough that he doesn't have enough time left.
They draw
him off.
Yeah. Yeah.
From everybody else.
He's able to catch them, but it takes enough time that the minute Koro-sensei has to go get people, it's not enough time for him to go meet up with Koro-sensei.
And that's important because for that minute, there's a group of people who are able to hold their breath long enough.
Yeah, Nagisa, Karma, and I forget who that is.
Sugino.
I like how, you know, Karma has an actual knife, or actually all of them have actual knives, but he's got it gritted in his teeth and he's just kind of like gesturing at Koro-sensei.
I assume they have the actual knives for Kurosuma if he ever gets there.
Yeah, I can see that. But basically, Koro-sensei can't go in there because he would be stabbed to death if he did.
Well, also water.
Well, yeah, because if he goes in the water, he slows down.
Yeah.
So which would give them time to stab him. Yeah.
And then time up.
Koro-sensei was not able to capture them, and Kurosuma wasn't able to get there in time. I didn't actually think they would win. I assumed they would have to do the homework.
Yeah,
same here.
But they would learn things in the end.
So what was their end of the bet? What do the teachers have to do?
They have to buy a dessert for all of them, I think, on Kurosuma's credit card.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tease him saying, tease Koro-sensei saying, aren't you better suited to be a robber, and then show a newspaper clipping of, you know, repeated occurrence of underwear theft.
Yeah, a bizarre laughter. Nurufufufufu.
They only target F cups and above.
Yeah. He's a very dirty cop.
Like, the cop bribery thing was hilarious sight gags.
I died laughing with the first one.
Because I was not expecting that, but then it worked quite well.
I figured they'd trick him, not just flat out go, like, here's porn, let us leave.
Yeah, this is a good arc that, you know, we got to know enough about all the characters that made it interesting.
Yeah.
And the solution was relatively clever.
So that was a nice little, you know, two-chapter mini-arc.
Yep.
So where do we go from here?
I think they're going to have to go to the whole Lovro dying, that other assassin thing.
I'm wondering if we see Shiro before that.
We haven't seen Shiro in a while, have we?
No.
We saw, like,
it was the same thing as the Lovro dying. Wasn't that also in the same chapter where they had that?
Yeah, that's right. They were just, like, going around the world, kind of checking in with everybody. But Shiro made it sound like he had something pressing, like, that was coming soon.
The two might be intertwined.
Maybe. Because that guy's what, the Shinigami? Like the...
Yeah, the greatest assassin in the world, basically.
Presumably. I mean, that would make sense.
Though once they dispose of... Oh, that's... We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but... I always have maybe they're not right or rational concerns of what Assassination Classroom will do once there's no more stakes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. I'm sure the mangaka has a plan, because
I'm sure we have.
That's at least another year off. So
maybe he'll just end it, like, you know, if it goes long enough. And
could be.
Wouldn't be surprising.
I would much rather have a satisfying ending than have it evolve into something which isn't as fun.
I can't think of a manga that I really like the ending of.
Full Metal Alchemist. I think we had
this conversation last week. Yeah. That's like the only, I still need to read that or watch the series.
I was actually thinking about that. I'm not sure if I said it on air, but I thought about it more afterwards. That's the one I like best, and it's like the one that I can think of that actually ended of its own volition.
Yeah. I mean, not being in Jump probably helped it a lot.
Yeah. Also being like a goddamn
I think
money.
That there's a whole lot more leeway in that sort of stuff for monthly series than there is for weekly.
Yeah. All right, then.
Yep.
On to One Piece. Which is like...
Robin is reading to a bunch of alpacas snoring. Yeah.
So this is like one of the best One Piece chapters I can remember, period.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Like, this chapter kind of makes up for Fishman Island. Kind of. Not
Will it ever make it up to you?
It can try.
We're still in the flashbacks of Kuros, which has him defeating Ricky, the mysterious newcomer.
Yes.
And he's been doing this for 9 years.
Yeah.
And he was aware that it was King Riku who would come in.
It sounds like he was aware right before striking the killing blow. Like, because it says he held back on the last attack.
And King Riku tells him, you know, leave. I've got something that you can do. And Kuros becomes the captain of the princess's bodyguard.
We knew that this happened eventually, right? Yeah.
And so everybody except for his elder daughter, Scarlet, you know, totally loves him, but she, you know, is not fooled by him because he's a dirty murderer.
And there's like little girl Viola there who's adorable.
Yes. You know, does her glasses thing even at that age. And it's like, actually, he seems like a nice guy.
So Kuros is the captain of their guard, and since Scarlet hates him, since he's sworn to protect them, he's trying not to lay a hand on them, like, at her request.
Yeah.
Also, one thing, because we know that the other princess is named Scarlet, I'm going to guess it's actually supposed to be Violet, not Viola. But, yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me. Like, I feel like they have called her Violet once or twice
before. Violet was her fake name.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know.
And Viola was her, like, actual princess name.
Could be.
So Scarlet gets kidnapped at some undetermined point in time.
By pirates, because pirates are evil.
Pirates are evil, not often enough.
I mean, pretty much every pirate except for, like, Luffy is evil.
Yeah.
And Ace.
So Kuros goes and, like, sinks their ships himself.
Bare-handed.
Yeah, and pulls Scarlet to safety. And he apologizes because he had no choice but to touch her to save her.
Yes, and, you know, she's, you know, crying at this point and then has basically immediately fallen for him because of this.
Yep, and they spend a lot of time together.
A nice montage of her making him bento boxes and then, like, a panel of them sitting far apart and then sitting closer together.
Yep. And he wants to leave the guard so he can marry Scarlet.
Yeah.
But Riku is not keen on this idea because if a former murderer marries the princess, then the kingdom will just not have it.
Then Scarlet
it
threatens.
It seems like he himself is kind of okay with it. He's just more concerned about the politics.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Scarlet says, like, well, if she can't marry him, she'll just die. And then it cuts to her funeral.
Which is a pretty...
She's been struck by a sudden disease.
It was a pretty good gag.
I was pretty like, wait, what? For a second.
So... They faked her death so she could run away with Kuros.
Yeah.
Or, I've been saying it, Kuros.
Yeah, Kuros, I would guess, but yeah.
Kuros, yeah. And then it cuts to them having Rebecca.
Yeah, they live out in the country in the flower field by themselves.
Yep, and they're so happy, and he refuses to touch her because she's so angelic.
And he's too dirty. Yeah. I love his and Riku's reaction to the baby. Like, they're both
crying.
Yeah, and all the women are just like, oh, cool.
baby.
Yep. I loved the gag of him wanting to pick her up, and so he puts on gloves to pick her up because, you know, he himself, he can't touch her.
And he's still crying again.
Yeah.
So
and somebody
eventually
pointed this out on that page. The middle panel is something that appeared in Rebecca's flashback without her dad.
Oh, the one of them standing looking at
the wall of the city. It's the exact same panel, concept, but without him. So
That's cool. So yeah, because he was erased from her memory. So
yeah.
So they notice the palace is burning, and Kiros makes them promise that they'll not come to the palace. Like, they promise with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he'll go back for them. So he goes there and gets captured.
Yep.
Yep. And I like the idea of, even though he doesn't have, you know, any devil fruit powers or whatnot, they tie him up with Sea Stone. I'm guessing because it's, you know, unbreakable or whatever, can't be cut, although I'm sure that at some point Zoro will cut it.
Yeah, maybe that's the next step.
I wonder if their assumption was that he must have devil fruit power because he's that strong.
Maybe better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
So they're about to kill Riku, and then Kiro severs his own leg to get out of the shackles, and then lunges.
Which, why didn't he just cut the chain?
Because it's
like we said, unbreakable.
Oh. Okay.
We have never, like, obviously they have to have some way of working it in order to make the chains and stuff, but we've never actually seen anybody cut Sea Stone in the entire series.
So Kiros is inches from killing Doflamingo, and then Sugar reaches out and touches him.
And he becomes Soldier One Leg.
Yep.
And that's the origin of that. I have
no idea who it is. Like, it's a toy.
Yeah, that just came out of nowhere.
And Kiros is confused why King Riku, who he just saved, does not remember him.
Yeah. I do like that even Doflamingo's people seem to have no idea where that toy came from, like, or they know where it came from, but they don't know, like, who it is or why they were fighting with them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Sugar remember, at least?
Maybe. We actually don't know if she remembers or not.
Yeah,
we
have no idea if she remembers or not, but yeah,
that's
everybody else.
That's probably how he's been in hiding the whole time without anyone looking for him. It's because they don't really know, you know, what his deal is.
I can see that.
I guess it swings both ways with her power.
So he goes to go meet up with Scarlet and Rebecca at the flower field and sees in the distance that Scarlet has been shot.
Yep. By Diamante.
Like, yeah, and he's about to head to the thing. He hasn't left the city yet, and he sees her shot in the city.
Which she was not supposed to be in because she made that promise with them. Or with Kiros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, why didn't she wait? What is she doing? So he beats off the guards around her and takes her, and she's dying in his arms.
Yeah.
But she's like, I don't know who you are, but go save my daughter.
Yeah, she dies not remembering him, and then he can't even feel her with his toy arms.
Yeah.
Which is like
the saddest thing.
Yeah, this is, he says, what kind of hell is this? And
this is almost Robin level.
So, tragic backstory, Kiros for Straw Hat.
Okay, so I guess my only question at this point is, like, why didn't Diamante then go after Rebecca?
Didn't he try? Or, well, no one knows who Rebecca is, right?
No, I think Doflamingo's perfectly aware of who she is.
Why?
That's true.
Because, I mean, didn't they have the entire thing about how they wanted to eliminate the entire royal family?
You know, though, like, people thought Scarlet was dead, so nobody would know about Rebecca. Like, they lived off by themselves in the boonies.
I mean, eventually they find out about Rebecca because she gets captured and put in the tournament, but
could be, yeah.
Like, I don't, at this point, I'm not sure.
They know that they just found the princess wandering around and killed her.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because she was born in secret.
Yeah.
I could swear that earlier in this very chapter, Doflamingo ordered Diamante to go and kill them, but yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So it
there you
cuts
go.
Back.
See, as for your wife and daughter who carry royal blood, I've already sent someone really good to take really good care of them.
Well, Diamante's an idiot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
Maybe Diamante just couldn't find her. Because Soldier One Leg did do a pretty good job of hiding her.
Well, actually, doesn't Violet cut a deal? Isn't that the whole thing that she's...
That's right. Yeah.
That she serves them as long as they don't go after the rest of her family. That's how Riku stays alive, too.
Yeah.
So, Viola's noticing that enemies are coming from below.
and what's his name?
The explodey hair guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what his name was. I don't remember. Gallius or something like that. Gradius? Was it just Gradius? I don't know.
He says you can see Violet's bloodstain on the wall, which I'm not sure what that means.
I think, well, she's been injured, so I think she's, like, leaving a trail of blood, maybe.
Oh, has she been injured?
Yeah, she was shot.
Yeah.
She was hit by a... What was it, shot?
I think she was
shot...
hit
by something.
You can see it in that panel. Her, like, arm is a little bloody. I think she was grazed on the arm.
So they're trying to figure out the merits of just charging in there, even though Sugar is not taken down yet. Or, you know, trying to defend from there. Because they're basically in a pincer position.
And then Soldier, just out of nowhere, asks Luffy if he's a pirate.
And, I mean, he basically says it doesn't matter. I'm glad we're on the same side. But, yeah. And then it cuts back to the Colosseum. And Burgess is fighting against Lucy and kind of destroying the entire Colosseum.
Yeah, the structural integrity seems to be in question, which is leading to what we thought was going to happen a long time ago.
Yeah. And then Diamante is taunting Rebecca, you know, telling her that it was him who killed her mother.
And that's one way to get around Rebecca's avoiding Haki, that just make her an emotional mess.
Yeah.
And she can't get
Bartolomeo is still trying to protect him.
Yeah, and Frankie's been beaten by those two guys.
I like Bartolomeo's joke about how the barrier is not preventing verbal attacks. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. And with Frankie, I'm just assuming this is basically eventually they all dogpiled him.
Well, yeah, there's like all of them there.
But he didn't beat that diaper guy first.
No. I think he was probably just running around and like ditching those fights and just trying to start as much shit as he could.
The point, you know, but yeah.
As he lays there beaten, he's thinking it's time for Usopp to win this and, you know, make it go for everybody else. So everyone's cheering on Uzaland.
Yeah.
The dwarves, the toys that who have no idea who he is.
Although I do like the one thing, because that one toy is Cavendish, isn't it?
Yeah,
so, you know,
the one that's thinking that he'll give up his
quest for Straw Hat's head if you return, you know.
And everyone's thinking they need Usopp to win, and then the next panel is Usopp is unconscious and...
Totally, yeah. So I guess
he's
we were...
Being bloody. Stickied, you know.
I guess we were right in that getting cut did not do much for Treble.
So he must be a Logia, not a Paramecia.
Yeah. So Sugar is taunting him, and she's going to return the poison grape to them.
So instead of turning him to a toy, she feeds him the poison grape.
Yeah, sticks it in his mouth and then, like, punches him so he swallows it.
And then we get the page which explains why Oda was off last week.
Because he had
the
to
Anel
this.
Face to end all Anel phases.
Yes.
The spiciness causes Usopp to just monstrously freak out.
His tongue is spiraling out. His eyes are spiraling out.
Blood and boogers are coming out of his nose. Blood and tears are coming out of his eyes. Fire is coming out of his mouth.
And it's so affecting that even Sugar, who's standing next to him, starts passing out and foaming at the mouth.
She gets scared, I think. Not that
Like, I'm assuming she's, you know, so disturbed by what she saw that it scares her so badly she passes out.
It scares the shit out of her because it just happens all of a sudden. So she freaks out and then...
She passes out.
And then something happens. And
I assume that this is what knocked her unconscious, which is probably the best way for it to happen. Usopp's freakout scared her so much.
Hey guys,
it's
Usopp
a little
did it.
Disappointing that Usopp didn't have like a moment of awesome, but this is really amazing.
I don't know. Usopp sort of had a moment of awesome.
this is pretty. I was pretty full of awe looking at this. So.
And then the best thing is nobody else is going to know how it happened.
Oh, do you think he's just
going
to totally
get all the credit for it?
Do you think the dwarves are probably going to be like, oh, that secret yelling attack you did at her knocked her out?
And then also it's going to be like Usopp is going to have all of those followers from all the pirates, so he is going to be, you know, the captain of 9,000 ships or whatever it is that will follow him. I want to see Usopp versus Buggy.
Oh, jeez.
So like,
I just noticed when Sugar freaks out, her eyeball punctures her eye patch and shatters it when it bugs out. There's like glass flying everywhere.
So this is just like an amazing chapter of One Piece.
Yeah, I love those last two pages were just a work of art.
I mean, all of it, like this whole chapter is like meticulously well done.
Talk about emotional whiplash. Like, my wife is dying in her arms. Also, silly face.
So yeah, think Kuros is going to join the crew now?
No. Yes. I think he's going to stay in...
So here's something I was thinking. Shosa. When he comes back and has one leg, do you guys think he's going to like jam something in there for a peg leg? Or like, do you think he's just going to be like running around with a severed leg? I guess he's done okay so far as the soldier.
Maybe Law will broom him a leg or something.
Yeah, or Frankie.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny if Law gives him a new one. Just takes it off of one of Doflamingo's people.
This well, was... he is, you know, the Dark Surgeon and that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah. He can have Doflamingo's leg. I think it'd be funny.
Oh, one thing we missed this chapter is they figured out that Kinemon is not Doflamingo.
Yeah. I think they said that last week, like... Doflamingo was like, I'm not down there.
I guess it got to Gladius then, because he's stomping around.
Yeah.
Being angry.
Gladius, that's his name.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is such a super good, like, this is Usopp, or Usa King shoot the flag good for me.
I don't know if I'd put it that high.
It's really good. This is one of the best One Piece chapters in a long time.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Also, yeah, Greg just linked us in the chat, the Photoshop someone made of all the Enel faces inside, like...
Usopp's mouth.
A Russian...
Who's the last... Is that last one is Usopp's again?
Well, it's Usopp's in there, and then I think he has another one inside of it, but I'm not sure. Yeah, like
Robin's?
Maybe? Yeah. It's missing Perona's, but, yeah.
Maybe that's Perona, the small one. Oh, there's someone around Usopp, too, inside Enel.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know whose that is. I think it might be Frankie. Got his beard. Yeah, that's fantastic. The thing that excites me is how will he top this one?
maybe this is the top of the Enel faces. He's retiring from here.
Yeah, no more Enel faces. Now they're Usopp faces.
I didn't realize that she got freaked out. I think that's a much better...
That she just got scared, yeah.
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 Like they took advantage of her being a little girl.
Yeah, she just screams, and then falls over. Just total foam at the mouth, just unconscious.
Ah, that's great. This whole chapter's great.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you think's happening next?
I'm guessing all the toys are coming back.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a montage thing with everybody coming back, and then I think the chapter is going to end with Kuros, Luffy, and Viola confronting Doflamingo.
Maybe. I'm kind of wondering if we'll get, like, Cavendish and others versus Treble.
I'd love to see Cavendish just tear Treble up.
I'm guessing Cavendish is going to lose and then get knocked out and then go all, you know...
Mr. Hyde.
Jack the Ripper, yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of what it was and I couldn't.
Is King Riku a toy? Oh, no, he's in Doflamingo's throne.
He's the one that... The other king is the punchy one.
Yes, the other king's down there. So is Qin Zhao, isn't he?
So it's basically everyone in the Colosseum gonna leave on Treble.
Yeah. And then I wonder if we're gonna get the Colosseum collapsing and all those people joining the fray too and just have total mayhem.
Well, all the people from the in the Colosseum arena or the audience are gonna turn back.
Oh yeah.
Well no, they're gonna turn back and all of the people are going to remember everybody too. All of a sudden.
And then Rebecca's gonna remember in the middle of the fight.
Her dad.
Yeah.
Give her the strength to fight or something.
Yeah, I wonder if they remember what happened.
See her tear up Diamante.
Yeah, I hope it's just like as soon as she remembers, she gets like the fierce eyes and just lightning steps at him and just cuts the shit out of him.
One thing we didn't mention is that Sabo seems to really be enjoying fighting Burgess.
Yeah,
he kind of has it out for him.
Well, I think it's total Kill Bill style list of taking out everyone that was involved with Ace's death.
Yeah. Which I think is one of the reasons he joined this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I think saving Luffy was just a nice fringe benefit. Like, yeah. He's really
like
there
he
to...
He would have come anyway. Well, I mean, he would have come for the fruit anyway.
But now he gets to take out one of Blackbeard's men.
It's just icing.
Yeah, I'm really excited for next week.
This is the kind of chapter that I wouldn't be surprised he takes a hiatus after.
Yeah, if this one had ended with the hiatus, I would have been like, okay, he's got some work to do, but... Although, like, at the times when these chapters
I am perfectly fine with him coming back with from hiatus and then just hitting the accelerator immediately. I am perfectly fine with that.
The problem we were usually having was it'd come back, be a little slow, get good, and then go on hiatus again.
Like, honestly, this is the One Piece I love. This is like, and I don't feel like he's done this since he's come back from the time skip.
God, my favorite panel on that whole page is the long shot of Sugar with her like hands in the air, the crown flying off of her head. Just like volcano Usopp spewing fire. Ah, so good. I cannot wait to see the mayhem in Dressrosa from all the people turning back into people.
I'm like, I don't know, just this arc can't not deliver at this point.
So hey, Imran, what art are you going to use for this week's episode? I wonder.
I wonder.
Well, it should already be apparent to everybody who's listening.
Thankfully, this is a double pager, which makes the wall art really easy too.
Call the episode Top Tier Enel Face. Be done with it.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah. It was a good week.
Yep. I didn't so much like the Naruto twist, but I thought the chapter was okay.
I like it better going into this podcast than coming out of this podcast. But that's another issue.
All right, this has been your Friday, March 28th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
Okay, no nisekoi. We can start.
All right.